Vanwee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the Vanwee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the Vanwee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam Vanwee.
It is a glorious Saturday morning on the First Coast, and it's 10 o'clock. That can only mean this is the Vanwee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanwee.
And I'm Adam Vanwee.
And we are here live as always, and I will make the announcement right now that next week and the week after, we will be right here live as always. So instead of listening to all those reruns of everybody else, tune us in, and you'll pick up some brand new up-to-date stuff, which might have some real good market news by then. It's hard to tell. We'll get into that, too. For all you regulars, thanks for being here. We would not do this show had it not been for you. And for all you new folks, whether you've been told about it or accidentally found us, stick around for an hour. You might learn a few things and find a few points of interest. I want to remind everybody that, again, that not all financial radio shows are created equal. This one is live. It's call-in. If you want to control any of the content of the show, it is as simple as picking up the phone and dialing 904-222-8255 or 904-222-TALK. Other than that, we'll talk about what we want to talk about, but if you want to talk about what you want to talk about, we're happy to do it, and callers always go to the head of the line. We will have a trivia question. I'll get to that after a little market wrap, and it will have to do with the markets and what's been happening lately, and just kind of a whole bunch of other random things. It is getting late in the year. I'm happy to talk about things you can still do to help yourself between now and the end of the year, and things that will be too late if you wait for 2 weeks to do them. So there are some tax tips that are ready to roll. Well, this market has been kind of interesting ever since the election. We had forecasts of a recession, a market crash, and all that stuff, which, of course, lasted about, 6 hours overnight when the market wasn't even open, and then it reversed and said, actually, this is quite a lot of fun. So a lot of people were expecting the big 20,000 this week. We didn't get there. Tell us why.
Well, because too many people were talking about it.
I agree with that, actually.
Yeah, that's usually when it doesn't happen. But if you were listening last week, you may remember that I said that the average gain for the S&P 500 during a week of a rate hike was 0.8%. Well, this week we saw the Fed finally hike rates a quarter point, and the S&P fell 0.1%. So not exactly the average, but I'm not surprised, actually. Despite the evidence to the contrary, I kind of thought we might see a pause or a pullback in the market because of the hike. It isn't that the hike wasn't needed or it was unexpected, because the market had fully priced it in. There were two factors that I thought might influence the market this week. The first was the huge run-up we have seen since the election. And the second was that we are nearing the end of the year, and those profits that people made in the last month or so are going to be awfully tempting to take. I know I took some last week, so I'm sure other people are thinking like I am.
Can't hurt.
Yeah, and
I did a lot of it yesterday.
We could definitely see some downward pressure on the market because of that, in my opinion. Now, what I'm not saying is that there isn't room left to run, because I think there is room left to run in this market. But I just think between now and the end of the year, it may not be the run-up that we've seen over the last few weeks.
But watch out for that last week of the year between Christmas and New Year's. It's very often good. Positive.
Yeah, light trading, but usually positive. So something to keep an eye on as well. The Dow was the only index that pushed higher this week, and even it was by a meager 0.4%. By sector, healthcare and utilities, which have been recent laggards, pushed a lot higher, while the recent winners, including financials, materials, and industrials, all drifted lower. Oil had a pretty good week, while natural gas did not. Gold and silver also declined. To no one's surprise, bonds drifted lower with the rate hike, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. There was a lot of economic data this week, and it was pretty mixed with a little bias towards the negative. Eight of the total reports came in better than forecast, and 12 came in weaker. Some of the key indicators that beat their expectations, and a lot of that had to do with optimism. The first one was small business optimism, which jumped from 94.9 to 98.4, which beat the forecast of 96.7. So that was a really strong report. The uptrend in this indicator is really strong, and I think we can attribute that to an expected change in the business climate in the next few years. The biggest problems cited by those that responded to the survey were, not surprisingly, taxes and government red tape.
And what two things is Trump promising to jump on immediately?
Those two things.
How about that? I'd be optimistic, too.
Yeah, they also happen to be the biggest decliners in number of respondents citing them, which illustrates that trend that we're talking about right now. So they both dropped, I think, 2 or 3 points in the survey, which was by far the biggest declines. One surprising report to the downside was retail sales, which came in at a 0.1% increase versus an expected 0.3% gain. In addition, the report also revised the October numbers down by 0.2%, which was pretty significant. One bright spot in the report was bars and restaurants, which posted the largest gain of all sectors, a trend we have been following for most of 2016. Apparently, people are more willing to spend money on going out and enjoying themselves right now than on consumer goods, which is a trend that I pretty much support, because I feel the same. I would much rather do that than buy some more cheap plastic junk. Jobless claims continued their trend of mid-200,000 readings for one of the longest times on record as well. I feel like a broken record when I repeat that every week.
but since it's good news, we'll just keep doing it.
It is good news, yeah. That's one of the biggest indicators of an impending recession is jobless claims. So that's something we watch very closely. Inflation-related indicators are perking up for the first time in many years as well, including this week's PPI report. The forecast was a 0.1% increase, and the actual reading was up 0.4. And CPI also came in very strong, with the core CPI posting 2.1% year-over-year, while the headline CPI was at 1.7% year-over-year. So pretty strong numbers on the inflation front.
I think you're going to see a lot more of that.
I agree. And it's surprising because tips have been drifting lower and lower.
They are firmly in the goodbye, and I don't mean bye-bye, I mean goodbye. The buying mode, as far as I'm concerned, at 112 or less, that is just something waiting to happen for me. All right, a couple of interesting little things here. The Dow is looking at that 20,000 mark, which would be the second time since the election that we actually crossed another triple zero thing. How long does it take the Dow to gain 1,000 points?
Historically or in
historically?
Recent? Okay.
The longest time, it took 5,168 days, or a little over 14 years. You know which one that was?
I would say in the 30s.
No. It was in 1972.
Oh, okay.
And do you know what numbers we're talking about?
I don't.
It went from 1,000 to 2,000. It had to double.
Well, and
to
you
gain
have
a
to
1,000
that
points.
Because 1,000 points isn't what it used to be.
Now, what was the shortest period of time to gain 1,000?
The most recent one?
No, the shortest since 72.
I don't know.
35 days. That was from 10,000 to 11,000.
Wow.
A gain of only 10%.
Right.
It absolutely fits. So I just thought that was kind of interesting. Now, I looked back. When it doubled to 18,000 from 9, it actually took 16 years, which is kind of in line with the 14 years.
True.
So even though the numbers happen quickly, the results are not that quick.
It's like we talked about last week with the 100-point day on the Dow. You're going to see a lot of those.
Yep. All right. Trivia question brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. How long was the longest market streak in history that did not have any new highs in the S&P 500? How many years went by with no new records being set? So give us a call after the break. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And as most of you know, we do have a presence outside of this studio. We actually have day jobs, and Adam will tell you how to reach us should you decide that you want to talk about some things.
Yeah, we are fee-only financial planners. We are located in Jacksonville Beach, but we're right off of Butler Boulevard, so easy to get to from all points in the city. If you ever want to reach us outside of the radio, you can call us at 904-685-1505, or you can find us online at www.vanweefinancial.com. And on our website, we do a lot of cool things. We have our Twitter feed right there. We do a blog. We update that about twice a week. And you can also book a meeting with us right from our website. So come and see us and get your first hour consultation, never a charge, and you might learn something even if we decide not to do business together.
And having spent a little time on A1A this week, I will tell you that unless you live at the far eastern extremities of our geographic area, you do not have to get on A1A to get into and out of our place.
You don't want to.
It's crazy out there, people.
Christmas shopping has gone crazy.
It is just absolutely nuts. A reminder, here's our trivia question. It's about how long in years was the longest period of time where the market did not set any new high records? And it didn't happen real recently because it's been setting a lot of those lately.
Yeah, it's been quite a while.
So think somewhat older. Well, this is the time of year when I dig out my old original Christmas list for the administration, the Congress, and for financial things in general. It goes back 15 years when I first did it, so I always like to look back and see what's happened to now and what do I expect coming up. So I did it again this morning, and it seems particularly appropriate with the new administration coming in. If you remember, 15 years ago, we were coming off 9/11, and then that dismal year, 2002, the economy and the stock market were all, I'd say, hurting only. I'm not sure that's a strong enough word. Tanking might be better. So years later, I looked at it, and my wish was for economic revival. Well, after 8 recent years, it still is. So here are my wishes, my top 10 wishes. Wish number 1 was to restore the tax cuts that had been eliminated. My 2015 update found that Obama's tax rates were put right back to where they were, higher, and added some more taxes on all the income of the more successful Americans. So what's the 2016 update? Trump promises to cut taxes. My wish here is that those changes will be made and will be made retroactively to January 1, 2017, which does have precedent with the last 2 major tax laws. Wish number 2. Cut the capital gains tax rate to 10% for everyone. The rate for the lowest brackets was actually down to 0, but the highest rate was then moved to 15, and by 2015, Obama had raised that to 20 and added a surcharge for the wealthier Americans. My 2016 update, there is absolutely no suggestion that I can find of a rate change by Trump, but the Obama care surtax should be eliminated. So there will be some good news in there for the wealthier people. Wish number 3, index the amount of the actual capital gains to the rate of inflation by adjusting the cost basis. You know how much you pay for inflation? If you buy an asset, hold it for a few years and sell it, you have to pay capital gains on the entire increase. But had the asset cost been brought up to date for inflation and you only paid on the actual gain, it would be a lot more fair. 2015 update, no change has ever been suggested. 2016 update, I suppose it goes without saying that it still hasn't happened and it's not on anybody's radar screen that I've seen.
I don't see that one happening.
No. Wish number 4, privatize part of Social Security. This would add wealth to the average American as well as most likely saving the entire Social Security system. 2015 update, of course, was that that was not even talked about. 2016 update, guess what? It's not even being talked about.
No, it was such a disaster when Bush tried it politically.
Yep. I guess Trump figures there are bigger fish to fry. I find that unfortunate. Wish number five, increase the IRA deduction to at least $8,000. 2015 update, didn't happen, didn't talk about it. 2016 update, no matter how badly we all need it, it is not being talked about.
It's such a weird rule. Why it is. Why, if you work for someone else, can you contribute $18,000, but if you
work for yourself, 15, unless you put 6, in a plan? Yeah. It defies imagination how long they stayed at $2,000, then how long they stayed at $3,000, and they finally indexed it, and it's just creeping along because they're lying about the inflation rate, but I digress. Wish number six, lift the $3,000 annual deduction for net investment losses. Either get rid of it or at least expand it dramatically. I think that thing's as old as I am.
Yeah, have they ever indexed that?
Not to my knowledge. Index it to inflation retroactively or something. 2015 update, no discussion ever been held. 2016 update, no change, no indexing, no discussion. Business as usual, I lose again. Wish number seven, repeal all estate and gift taxes. This happened in a modified way in 2010, if you remember. Remember when George Steinbrenner died in 2010?
Yep.
Oh, they got him. And I think for that reason alone, it was put back in.
Yeah.
2015 update, the estate tax was reinstated. At least it was brought in at a higher level. At least it was inflation adjusted. Those were all good things. 2016 update, here we go. I'm starting to win now. I like that word.
Finally.
Heard it a lot this week.
You've mentioned a lot without winning.
Yeah. Trump proposes elimination of the estate tax. Yay! Now, you can disagree with me all you want, but the reason that was put in was ridiculous. The reason it remains in is ridiculous. It costs more to administer the thing than they collect on it, and the whole idea of social engineering doesn't work because the richer the people are, the better lawyers they can get so that they can transfer to their own family
planners.
Anyway. And financial planners, absolutely. It is absolutely categorically nothing more than somebody's wealth envy.
We need
to get rid of it.
I just don't understand how anyone outside of D.C. could think that that is a good rule.
I don't either. And yet they look at the income without looking at the expense. That's how they justify it. And it doesn't make them any money, people. Wish number eight, eliminate the double taxation on corporate dividends. You know how that works, folks? The corporation gets taxed, and out of their after-tax earnings, they pay dividends to people like you and me, and we pay tax on them. That's double tax. 2015 update, to now no discussion under Obama. 2016 update, no change, no discussion.
Well, lowering the corporate tax rate, though.
Lowering the corporate tax rate will certainly help. It does very definitely impact the value, corporate and personal, will impact the value of those dividends. I just think it's ridiculous that they're not deductible, personally. Wish number nine. Of course, I think it's ridiculous that corporations have an income tax because everybody knows they don't pay taxes.
They pass it on to you and me.
Yep. Wish number nine. Eliminate the Clinton-era increase on Social Security benefits. They started out with promise.
Not increase on the increase. Eliminate
the taxation. Increase in taxation. It started out with a promise when Social Security started that it would forever be tax-free.
Which it should.
It then went for many years to 50% taxable if you had a certain threshold of annual income. Clinton raised that 50% threshold to 85% if you had a certain threshold, and that threshold is barely enough to live on, so virtually everybody we know pays the thing. It never should have been at 85%, it never should have been at 50%, but at least take it back to 50%. Argument for that is very simple. The employer part gets deducted. So prior to the increase back then in the 90s, it was more fair, but still not fair. It's not gotten any better as of 2015. And in 2016, I see absolutely no hope that this is going to change.
No way.
Saving the best until last. Here we are. Wish number 10, eliminate the alternative minimum tax.
I think everyone can agree on that one.
It is nothing more, nothing less than a second tax system parallel to the first that was originally targeted at something like 27 people in this country, because you know what they were doing? These rich people, I tell you, they're just so horrible. They were using the tax code to not pay any taxes.
Wait, you mean the tax code that was written by the government that collects the taxes?
That one. Mm. So the government didn't like that. So they put in an alternative minimum tax so that these people would have to pay some amount every year because following the rules, they didn't know anything.
Or they could have just changed the tax code, you would think.
Well, you know and I know what a tax loophole is. These people are taking loopholes. You know another name for tax loophole?
The current tax law.
Yes, the law. That's all there is to it. You get a good CPA, you follow the law, and if you don't owe any taxes because you have a lot of depreciation or depletion or whatever it is, all you did was follow the tax code. Well, as of 2015, no discussion. But as of 2016, under the Trump plan, the AMT goes sayonara.
Thank goodness.
Will he get it? He better. Like your congressman if you have to. If people start fighting this, I promise you they'll fight it from the left and from the right. We will all lose unless we let them know that this thing's got to go. It costs Americans a fortune to do the alternative minimum tax when you've already done tax returns anyway. It's ridiculous.
And I wonder what they actually collect. I'll have to go back and look that up, what they actually get out of the AMT.
Well, then you get it back later when you don't have it, when you have a year that it doesn't apply to you, they give it back to you. So all it does is defer the money. Let's just do it right. Modify the tax code, people. Don't do this kind of thing. It's ridiculous. Now, it would also be nice, and this is not on my list, but what if we were to actually go out there and cut spending, too?
Whoa. Boom. How dare you?
Then we might get somewhere on this almost $20 trillion debt that's hanging over our head. But anyway, there's some mixed as usual, and there's some good and some bad. We'll be right back after the break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour. Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have another half hour to go. Stick around and give us a call if you can, want to. Any financial questions, anything you want to talk about, comments on what's going on, or a guess on our trivia.
Which is what?
How many years was the longest market streak without any new highs being set? And it's a fairly substantial number, and it was quite a while ago.
And if you get that question right, it's good for a $25 gift certificate to Angie's Grom, a breakfast restaurant out at the beach. It's really good. Been there a few times.
Okay. And I probably won't be too much longer before I find out for myself, because everybody tells me what a wonderful place it is. And they do business with First Coast Alarm, so he sponsors it.
Exactly. It's a perfect win-win.
Well, the Fed raised its rates. We told you last week they would.
Yeah.
And they did. It was a slam dunk this time. Probabilities well into the 90s. Everybody knew. It was all built into everything that was going on. They did it, and the market more or less yawned.
More or less. It stopped
racing forward, pulled back just a tiny little bit.
Yeah, about 100 points on the rate decision day.
But it was largely a tempest in a teapot.
Yeah, exactly.
But what happens to certain things when interest rates go up? This is not necessarily a tempest in a teapot, depending on how you are invested.
Yeah, last week I talked about what happens to the S&P 500 when a rate hike is implemented. And today I want to talk about what happens to bonds. I think that most people who have investing experience know that when interest rates go up, it's not good for your bonds. Bond prices have an inverse relationship to interest rates, and so therefore they fall. But why? Why is that? I wanted to explain it. It's a difficult concept. Bonds in general are difficult to explain.
They are.
And especially without any visual aids over the radio, but I'll do my best to explain it in a way. Yeah, there you go. In a way that it makes sense and it's easy to understand. So first I wanted to go over how a bond works for anyone who doesn't know. A bond is a debt instrument for a corporation or a government entity. an individual buys a bond for what is called their par value, and it's usually $1,000 from the company, and the company pays the individual interest on that debt, usually semi-annually. This is called the coupon payment. Every bond also has a maturity date, which is the date that the company must pay back the original amount or the par value of the bond to the individual who owns it. So if you buy a bond for $1,000, it matures, the company pays you the interest while you own it, and then they pay you back that $1,000 at the end of the bond's life. So think of buying a bond like making an interest-only loan to a corporation for a set period of time, after which they must pay you back the principal. Bonds, like stocks, can be bought and sold in the secondary market, although the price of a bond after the original sale can vary up or down from its par value. The coupon payment is set at the time the bond is issued based on the credit rating of the company, the current interest rates, and the maturity date of the bond. The value of the bond in the secondary market is based on the time until it matures, the coupon payment, and the current interest rates. So how does that relationship work to current interest rates? I'll talk a little bit about how bonds are valued. Bonds are valued by looking at future cash flows that a bond will provide the owner and discounting them back to today's dollars. The basic theory behind discounting is that a dollar today is worth more than a dollar tomorrow, because if you invest that dollar at today's interest rates, the value of that dollar will increase.
Yeah, you'd have $1.00001.
In a low interest rate environment like this, you don't get much for that, but it still makes that dollar worth more today than...
Put it out a few years, you got something.
Exactly, and at a higher interest rate, you really have something. So therefore, the higher the current interest rates are, the more that dollar will increase in value over time. When interest rates rise, the rate at which you discount the future coupon payments from the bond increases, making them less valuable in today's dollars, and the price of the bond falls. If you're confused, don't worry. It's a difficult subject, but I think this last part will sort of clarify. Another way to think about this is what the alternatives are to the bond that you currently own. Let's say you just bought a bond with a 10-year maturity with a coupon payment of 4%. A year from now, interest rates rise by 1%, and the same company issues another bond with a 10-year maturity, but the coupon payment is 5%. Which one would you rather own?
Trade.
That's what you'd like to do, right?
Everybody would like to.
Of course
you can't.
Of course you'd rather own the one with the 5% coupon because it pays you more.
Of course.
So it seems easy, but there's a catch. As soon as that interest rate rose 1%, the price of the 4% bond dropped to compensate for that. So the bond that you paid $1,000 for can now be sold for less than $1,000. But if you want the 5% coupon bond, guess what you have to pay for it? $1,000. Yep. So essentially you have a bond that's worth, say, $960 or $900, and you want to replace it with a $1,000 bond. You can't sell it for enough to buy that new bond.
It makes the buyer indifferent.
Exactly.
I'll take either one because they're going to yield to maturity exactly the same number of dollars.
And that's my last point. It seems unfair, but there's a silver lining. Mm-hmm. The 4% bond that you already own will actually increase in value the closer you get to its maturity date, even if interest rates are rising. But why would that happen? It doesn't make sense according to what I just said. But when the bond matures, you are going to get back your original $1,000, making it worth exactly $1,000 on the date of maturity. As long as the company is financially solvent and planning on paying you back, you're going to get back your original investment. So you will see that price increase towards the date of maturity. Mm-hmm. But the bad news is you're kind of stuck with that 4% coupon when you could go out and buy a new bond that pays 5%.
So what's happening to bond funds?
So there's two ways to own a bond. You can own the actual individual bond, or you can buy a fund, a mutual fund, or an ETF that holds those bonds for you. So typically you'll see those bond funds drop on an interest rate hike. But as they replace the bonds that mature with new bonds that pay more, you'll see those prices start to come back. There's more factors than that, but that is the main one that drives the price of the bond fund will be the value of the underlying bond. So as they buy bonds that are worth more, you'll see that bond fund increase in price.
And why are tips dropping right now?
Now, that one I can't explain. I think...
For those of you who don't know, tips mean Treasury Inflation Protected Bonds that pay you an... They actually adjust the premium or the face value up a little bit whenever there's any inflation on a monthly basis. So it doesn't act like a typical bond. Corporate bond or right. Even a typical Treasury bond.
So I think that the Yellen speech, if you watched it after the hike, she mentioned that she expected inflation to stay low and that we were going to see slow economic recovery, which made absolutely no sense to me because the market is saying the exact opposite to me.
Which is what, a change from anything that ever happened? That Yellen could be wrong?
Right, because she said during the last 8 years that we were going to see massive economic expansion. And
now that just reeks of politics to me, doesn't it?
But she also mentioned at least six times during her speech that she is not political.
Yeah, exactly. So, convince me.
Yeah, no, she didn't convince me.
So therefore, I think, in my humble world, tips look like a really good buy right now. They will pay you.
I tend to think so as well.
Yeah, especially buying them. We buy them as the ETF labeled TIP for the most part. And the reason we do that is, like Adam said, they'll roll bonds out of it and into it all the time. So as you get an underlying rate increase with each purchase, you also get on the existing bonds, the inflationary increase. You have a potential to do a far better return on tips than with a regular corporate bond right at the moment. Now, for long-term bondholders, if we're going on a formula, 60-40, 70-30, whatever it is, bond funds are my preferred because that means you're going to have a lot of different bonds on there, and it's going to be run by a professional manager.
Yeah, but long-term bonds are not a place I would want to be right now.
No, but even if you go to a shorter duration, meaning the bond is going to mature quicker, and rolling them in and out by using a professional mutual fund manager, if they're going to be a long-term position in your portfolio, mm-hmm. the bonds themselves, I like the funds. But we use individual bonds mostly to plan for required minimum distributions, which is, of course, a topic that we need right now.
Yeah. If you haven't taken yours this year, take it. You have 2 weeks.
Exactly. All right, Mark is on the line, but we have the music playing, so I'm going to have to ask you to hold until right after the music, and we'll get right to you. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour, and we will come back and talk about all kinds of fun things. There's a time sometimes in your life when the personal and the professional overlap, and there are lessons to be learned from it. And assuming there's a little bit of time, I've got a story that pretty much just fits right into that whole category, and there are a serious number of good lessons to be learned by things that were done, in this case, well, I'm happy to report. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Van Lee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Lee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Lee.
And I'm Adam Van Lee.
And good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Steve and Adam. How are you doing?
Great. How are you?
Doing well.
Good. What can we do for you?
I was going to guess on the trivia.
Okay.
26 years.
Oh, man.
You are actually pretty close.
You're a little bit high, but very close. We appreciate it. We'll try to get somebody else in, and you call back next week, and maybe I'll get something you nail.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. All right. Sometimes the personal and the professional blend together, and that happened to me last week. I want to tell you a little bit about it because there's some really good financial planning lessons in here. Oh, but first, I'm sorry. Good morning, Larry.
Yes, 25.
Oh, you're really close.
I'm helping somebody.
But too high.
I'm giving y'all anyway. Too far for me to drive.
You're very generous, and especially this time of year. Thank you.
Appreciate it, gentlemen. Thank you.
At 5:30 last Saturday before the show, my phone rang, and there's an old saying around our house that nothing ever happens that's good when you get a phone call between midnight and about 6 a.m., and of course this was absolutely no exception. It was a nurse down around Tampa who told me that my mother was not doing well. She had been in the hospital a couple of days, but heck, that was nothing new. She does that 3 or 4 times a year, bounces back, comes home every time. But this time they asked a very serious question. Did she have a DNR? That's a do not resuscitate. In fact, I'm looking at Tula through the glass. This is her specialty. Don't go anywhere after this show because Tula will be talking about all kinds of good things. Anyway, we had planned to go down after this week's show, but I, of course, changed plans when we took off. And we got down about 2 hours from Tampa and the phone rang again. It also said mom, so yeah, that's that. Basically, she'd slipped away. She'd been in a coma since 4 in the morning. So we lost my mom, and that gave rise to all the stuff I've been thinking about for a week now. And my subtitle well, my title for this piece is Lessons from Losing My Mother, Financial Planning 101.
And my grandmother.
Mm-hmm. And the subtitle is Stuff. How in the world does anybody take a little tiny house like that and pack it with so much stuff? It is unbelievable. It's going to take us a couple, three trips to go through it. And, of course, sorting through it. You know, I've known forever that I have my pack rat tendencies and that I probably inherited them. And Adam's given me the look that says,
no comment.
You certainly do. Well, I know exactly where I got the pack rat tendencies that I have now. So we're going through box after box, closet, drawers, you name it. And about every whatever thing, you know, box of whatever, I start pulling it out. And here's some old family Bibles and old documents and old this and that. There's no real value in them except sentimental. But the sentimental value is absolutely wonderful. It kind of slowed down progress a bit because I was taking so much time out to look through this stuff. And it was not exactly fun. It's not a week I would ever like to do again. And I guess I won't have to since I know my parents anymore. But it was very enlightening. So I got thinking, you know, Mom was almost 87. Her birthday would have been February 12th. Abraham Lincoln was kind enough to share it with Mom and with Mom's oldest great-granddaughter, Elsa. So 86 years, small and frail. And when you think of all the things she's been through, she lost my dad in 1990, lived alone for 29 years. No, 26 years, lived there for 29 years. But she was never really alone. I could tell that by her friends. But we got to the house, and we had a few of these little things we had to do. And I got looking back over the 15 years I've been in this business, and one of the first things that happened when I got into business, I asked Mom, who was a widow at the time, said, would you like some help with your finances? And she breathed a sigh of relief because she really didn't know much about it and was very uncomfortable. Well, both Mom and Dad worked for utilities for years, and their holdings were Social Security, a little pension each, and two stocks, one for each of the utilities they worked for. And diversification hadn't really touched them in any way, shape, or form. So the first thing I did was have her sell one of them, and then we waited till the next year for tax purposes, and we sold the other one, diversified, and it worked very well, and she came through the bad times very well and came back. Never rich, but never broke, but she always did well. Rule number one, most parents want help, most kids want to help, and almost everybody's afraid to ask the other one. Ask, the least you can do, and it may pay long-term dividends. Lesson two was what I said about the lack of diversification. Nearly everything they had was undiversified. We diversified it. Things went well from there. Now, in 2013, my sister retired, moved to Florida, immediately got sick, and pretty soon it became obvious that it was very serious, and she did not last the year. Lesson three was I went to her when she was ill and asked her if she'd like help, and she was relieved as well. It's not just your parents or your kids. Talk to your brothers and sisters, cousins, aunts and uncles. If you know anything about this stuff, ask somebody if they want help, and if you don't, ask if anybody knows enough to help. Or, of course, call us, 685-1505. Just throw that in. But my sister was an excellent saver, and that's lesson number four. When I found out how many dollars she had, I asked her how she got all of them. She said, one at a time. And that's exactly what she did. If you spend a little less than you make and put the rest away, it does multiply. She did very well with a little bit of Social Security her holdings. Lesson five is perpetual income. When she retired on a reduced Social Security, she didn't have enough to live on. So what did she do? She went out and bought a single premium immediate annuity in the exact amount that her total income, perpetual income, would then come up to what she needed to live. Annuities solve problems. She had a problem. She needed X amount of income for life. She bought an annuity to do it. We're often accused of hating annuities. We do not hate annuities. We hate how they are used, how they are oversold, but they're the only thing that does exactly what she needed done, so we did it. All right, my father died back in 1990 intestate, and for those of you who are not familiar with the legal stuff, it means he didn't have a will. half of you don't have a will. You know who you are. And most of you are going to feel guilty about that, I promise you. Get a simple will done. It doesn't cost that much. Along with it, any good lawyer will help you prepare a living will for health care. You need a health care surrogate while you are living. And Tula's giving me
a thumbs up
on the other side. Anyway, that's lesson six. Don't just talk about it. Make these documents.
I can tell you without a doubt, the most guilty looks we get at our table as financial planners is when we ask, do you have a will? And people know they need one, and they put it off and put it off. And whenever we bring it up, you get the look of guilt.
Yep. Lesson number seven, the durable power of attorney. My mother and my sister had given me durable power of attorney, each of them, so I was able to handle things during their period of illness. Now, the durable power of attorney dies when the person who gave it to you dies, so it's no longer any good. Now the will took over, but we had a will. A lot of you will not have that unless you get off your butts right now, because you literally never know when your number's up. Now, my family didn't have a living trust. At the time we talked about it, it didn't really seem like it was necessary, but a lot of laws have changed, and there are many, many more reasons now to have a living trust, especially if you're giving someone a durable power of attorney. I'm not a lawyer. I don't pretend to be a lawyer, but I do know this. A good lawyer can save you a lot of potential embarrassment by doing a will and a living trust that work together and hold you not exposed, I guess, is what I would say. And so lesson nine is the living trust is becoming more important as time goes on and the laws change. You do not really want a long, drawn-out, time-consuming, money-costing probate when you absolutely don't need one. You can use beneficiary designations. Number 10 is get those beneficiary designations up to date. And if you don't have a transfer on death for your non-retirement accounts, get a transfer on death, which does the same thing. And your children, your heirs of all sorts, will thank you profusely for getting all this done. Adam's nodding because he knows it's absolutely true. We'll miss you, Mom. Miss you guys, too, between now and next week. But we'll be back. Don't forget, we're going to be live each of the next 2 weeks. There is absolutely no reason not to listen to this show when everybody else is going to be taking time off and running reruns. So just mark my words. We'll be here. It'll be a good show. We'll talk a little bit about Christmas and fun things. And by then, I think the market will be ready to maybe take a little Santa Claus rally after the holiday itself.
And if you knew my grandmother, there's just one thing I have to say. There's a line from a Jimmy Buffett song that says, 86 years of perpetual motion.
Yeah, you got that
pretty
right.
Much sums her up.
Tennis, golf, bridge,
bowling.
Socializing, bowling, into her 80s. That, my friends, is a good life. All right. See you next week. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.